Hey, good evening, Truth Seekers. Malloy here on the Nova M Radio Network. Thanks for tuning in. Stick around for a while tonight, okay? Because if you don't, you and I are not going to have any time together until... When are we coming back? The 16th of October. We'll be off tomorrow night, all next week, and then the following Monday. And I believe Sam Cedar will be sitting in for me the entire time. We are going on the Truth Seeker Cruise, Kathy and I and Molly, where we promise no waterboarding is allowed. KTLK's Johnny Wendell, I'm sorry, I haven't heard of this person. I'm embarrassed. KTLK's Johnny Wendell sits in tomorrow night, and then Sam Cedar fills in all next week. And then finally, Peter Werby rounds it out on Monday the 15th. Who's Johnny Wendell? That must be somebody, you know, somebody good. I'm sure he's good. You know, our management team at Nova M Radio certainly would not put him on if he weren't. Talk about your tortured logic. Double your pleasure, double your talking points, double speak. Dana Too Much Cappuccino Perino was working overtime today to redefine the definition of torture. After that breaking news that was revealed to the world via the New York Times this morning, that we have been using hideous interrogation techniques known as torture on prisoners, even though every single member of the Bush crime family has denied such practices were taking place. In other words, every single one of these bastards lied. And in so doing, every single one of these bastards not only demonstrate the United States is no longer a force in this on this planet, under this leadership anyway, for justice or morality, but also their attitude and their actions have put every single U.S. soldier, every single U.S. civilian or aid worker who might be captured by a terrorist organization at risk for torture. Thanks, bastards. Thanks a lot. And when you hear what Dana Perino had to say today, which we're going to play for you at the bottom of the hour, you will understand that they're twisting logic harder than Cheney with a pair of pliers attached to an Iraqi citizen's scrotum. It's just unbelievable what Too Much Cappuccino Perino did today. Her press conference today was just outrageous. Now I have to know or mention, excuse me, the story about the U.S. continuing to torture, illegally detain, use rendition, all sorts of evil stuff, has been going on even though Bush and the rest of these bastards repeatedly over and over and over and over again have denied it. The story was in the New York Times this morning. We mentioned it to you last night when the Times put the piece up on their website. If you printed the story off, it is 11 typewritten pages, double-spaced pages of copy. And if you notice, if you read it this morning, a column on the front page and then a double truck, two full pages inside. It was an extensive, carefully documented story about how the United States under the Bush crime family is no different from the military junta that runs Burma or the old Soviet Union with the KGB in charge or Iran under the Shah and his Sabak or any state that uses terror and torture as a means of interrogation, questioning, conducting its illegitimate business. The United States under Bush has now been placed in the same category. Egypt, Saudi Arabia, Israel, these are all countries that use torture. Malaysia, China, and, you know, I was brought up to believe Chile under Pinochet. It just goes on and on. I, you know, no need to go down the list. I haven't even mentioned any of the African countries. But I always thought, to some degree, call me naive, and to some degree I really, really am, but whatever naivete was left inside of me at my age has been burned out, totally cleaned out by the Bush crime family. It's to the point now where nothing, absolutely nothing I hear or read about that filters to me from media about this corrupt regime that runs our country, do I believe. None of it. It's not that I think the news organizations are necessarily lying. They're just not doing their jobs of pointing out that it's lies. They're just filtering the information, or feeding the information out to me and you and the rest of us, because that's what they're paid to do now. They are not paid to earn their constitutional protection in the First Amendment. But it is astonishing to me. I paid careful attention tonight to ABC Network News. The reason, with Charles Gibson, is because they, I understand, are the leader of the pack now in network news, with a massive audience every night. This story was not even mentioned. Not even mentioned. There were stories about, I don't remember. I just don't. I was shocked, stunned. And that's what I mean about the naivete. The last little bit has just been burned out of me. I have come to the point at this stage in my life where there's very few things I believe in. I believe in Kathy. I believe in my kids. Let me think a minute. It's pretty difficult to come up with a longer list than that of things that I just put unequivocal faith in. But government and media and our institutions, all of it, it's just been flushed for me, permanently flushed. And I think that I, like you possibly, I know a lot of you people are way ahead of me on this. You've reached this point long ago. But this is a point from which there's no return. There just isn't. I don't have enough time left on the planet to reestablish faith in the institutions that that run this country, certainly not the government, and never media any longer, because media is nothing but one huge corporate sewer, with a couple of glaring exceptions, Keith Olbermann's program, a couple more. But the fact that Charles Gibson and the ABC television network decided that this story didn't even warrant what is referred to in the business, television news business, as a 30-second reader. That's where 30 seconds of copy, which is very brief, maybe three sentences, are read by the on-camera person. It didn't even warrant that. Nothing. So unless you're a reader of the New York Times, now I don't know, maybe Fox, maybe CNN, maybe MSNBC, maybe the Washington Post, you know, I don't know. Unless you subscribe to the New York Times, how else were you to know about this? Maybe the Post. I'm sure the Washington Post had something about it. If they didn't today, which they probably didn't, maybe they'll have it tomorrow. I honestly don't know. But if you are a typical American and get your news from ABC or CBS or NBC in the evening at 6:30 or 7, whenever it comes on in your city, then and if your choice is ABC, then you have no idea of this extensive, documented, detailed, I think they had three reporters on it, report in the New York Times that went on and on and on, not just about the fact that these people have been lying to us, but the depth of the lies. Just another piece in what this corrupt administration has done to this country. And they're still not impeachable. It's just unbelievable to me. So what we're going to do, I've got a couple of items that I want to clear off. And then we are going to play for you some of the sound today from Dana Perino's press conference as she tried to dance around this issue. And dance she did. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M.
Here's your nightly ammunition against right-wing rhetoric. Get locked and loaded with Mike Malloy.
21 past the hour. This is from Rick. Rick sent this in last night regarding my comments about the cost that cigarette smokers lay off on society because of their illnesses and their need for medical care. Rick writes, Mike, I really don't care if smokers must bear the cost of child medical care, but please do a little deeper research on smokers' cost on society. The major health care cost is end-of-life care. Smokers' end-of-care costs are no different. Many more of them just drop dead, and therefore no hospitalization. The most important cost, or I should say savings, is retirement Social Security payments that are not paid to smokers who die much earlier. The average age of smokers is barely over 65. Social Security and other entitlements are paid to smokers are negligible compared to non-smokers. This is a huge savings. Studies show that when taking non-paid entitlements into account, smokers cost society less. Yeah, that's true. I should have considered that. Most smokers who do not quit die suddenly and never get to the point where they're collecting all that Social Security. I'm not laughing because I think it's sad. I think any addiction, and I know smoking is nicotine is a powerfully addictive substance. I know, been there, done that. I quit smoking, 52 times probably. But once you break free, it's like, oh my God, it is just indescribable. This is from Beth. Mike, we've been having impeachment demonstrations here in Nancy Pelosi's district, and there's a media blackout. On September 15th, we had hundreds of people and beautiful aerial pictures and no coverage. Anyway, we're doing it again on Sunday, October 7th. This time at the Berkeley Marina, and Cindy Sheehan and Cynthia McKinney are going to be here too. But it's really not about them, but about drawing a really big picture for Nancy Pelosi, who hasn't held a town hall in over a year and a half. My friend Brad is the organizer. He's a cab driver, and he's down he's done all this with a cell phone, a credit card, and a lot of goodwill. And if you want to see some amazing stills in a video, go here, beachimpeach.org. Beachimpeach.org. Yeah, thanks, Beth. I went there. Those are the pictures that all the people on the beach spelling out the words. It's worth a trip. Go see it. Beachimpeach.org. Anyway, this Sunday, October 7th, Berkeley Marina, if you live in the Bay Area, go there. The San Francisco Bay Area. I better clarify that. Back when Republican Senator Pat Roberts chaired the Senate Intelligence Committee, he refused to conduct an investigation into how Bush and Cheney misled Congress about the case for invading Iraq. And as David Swanson wrote today at BuzzFlash, the ranking Democrat on that committee complained loudly for years. Senator Jay Rockefeller used every parliamentary trick available for a ranking member, but was unable to force an investigation. The election of 2006 was supposed to change everything. Rockefeller became the chairman of the committee. He could now immediately begin any investigation he chose. In fact, in January of this year, he gave an interview to McClatchy newspapers that suggested he was chomping at the bit. In January, Rockefeller told McClatchy newspapers that it was Dick Cheney who had compelled Roberts to stonewall the investigation. Rockefeller told the newspapers that it was important to complete so-called phase two of the inquiry. Rockefeller said at the time, quote, the looking backward creates tension, but it's necessary tension because this administration needs to be held accountable and the country needs to know, end quote. Well, here we are 9 months later. Rockefeller has not conducted the investigation or released a report. And yesterday, in fact, the Senate unanimously passed an intelligence bill after the Democrats agreed to delete a demand to obtain the archive of daily intelligence briefings given to the president on Iraq between 1997 and 2003. Swanson writes, I did not say narrowly passed. I said unanimously. Rockefeller could have been fighting to keep the teeth in the intelligence bill. He could have been issuing subpoenas. He has yet to issue a single subpoena. He could, for that matter, have simply assigned his staff to write a careful report on the White House war lies based on what is already in the public record. The case is overwhelming. Why would Rockefeller refrain from even reporting on what he already knows? The Democrats want to avoid impeachment at all costs. But they must have known last year and the year before that, that lying a nation into war is an impeachable offense. This was widely discussed in the 1780s. It's hardly news. And the point, of course, that Swanson is making here, I had no idea either. That the United States Senate, by voice vote, decided unanimously to remove a demand in the intelligence bill that said we want to see what happened, why we wound up in a war based on lies. Son of a bitch, can you imagine this? See, once again, the Democratic Party leadership screws us.
No American will be allowed to torture another human being anywhere in the world.
Well, apparently that's just another lie from Too Stupid to Chew Gum. It's astonishing. I don't know if you read the article in the New York Times today. When the Justice Department publicly declared torture abhorrent in a legal opinion in December 2004, the writers at the time say the Bush administration appeared to have abandoned its assertion of nearly unlimited presidential authority to order brutal interrogations. But after February 25th, soon after Alberto Gonzalez rode into town, the Justice Department issued another opinion, this one in secret. It was a very different document, according to officials briefed on it. It was an endorsement of the harshest interrogation techniques ever used by the CIA, in other words, torture. The new opinion, the official said, for the first time provided explicit authorization to barrage terrorist suspects with a combination of painful physical and psychological tactics, including head slapping, simulated drowning, frigid temperatures. Gonzalez approved the legal memorandum over the objections of James Comey, the deputy attorney general who was leaving his job after bruising clashes with the Bush White House. Disagreeing with what he viewed as the opinion's overreaching legal reasoning, Mr. Comey told colleagues at the department that they would all be ashamed, his word, ashamed, when the world eventually learned of it. Mr. Comey, these rat bastards don't understand the term shame. The Times goes on to say, later that year, as Congress moved toward outlawing cruel, inhuman, and degrading treatment, the Justice Department issued another secret opinion, one most lawmakers didn't even know existed. Now, the classified opinions, never previously disclosed, are a hidden legacy of Bush's second term and Gonzalez's tenure at the Justice Department. Congress and the Supreme Court have intervened repeatedly in the last 2 years to try to impose limits on interrogations and an end to torture, but the 2005 Justice Department opinion remains in effect, and the legal conclusion that that opinion installed has been confirmed by several more recent memorandums, officials said. They show how the White House has succeeded in preserving the broadest possible legal latitude for harsh tactics, for torture. A White House spokesman, Tony Fratto, said yesterday that he would not comment on any legal opinion related to interrogations or torture. Associates at the Justice Department said Gonzalez seldom resisted pressure from Vice President Dick Cheney and David Addington. Mr. Cheney's attorney, to endorse policies that brought the condemnation of other governments, human rights groups, and Democrats in Congress. Critics say Gonzalez turned his agency, the Justice Department, into an arm of the Bush White House, undermining that department's independence. And it goes on and on and on and on. The depth and scope of the lies that this filthy administration has been putting out there for the past 6 years is astonishing. And you and I cannot pretend like we didn't know it. We've been talking about it for 6 years, haven't we? But this is unbelievable. And this was not even enough to for ABC to even mention on their nightly news. Let's go to today's press briefing. Seems like the more Spinderella lies here, the faster her lava lips flap. She faced nonstop questions today about how Abu Gonzalez's Justice Department issued these secret rulings allowing torture, while the Bush crime family denounced any form of torture. The first reporter says, Dana, does the president believe that head slapping and simulated drowning are necessary tactics to use against suspected terrorists to keep America safe?
In this new war, which is an unprecedented war, facing an enemy unlike we've ever faced before, oftentimes the best information that you get is from the terrorists themselves. They know where the other terrorists are hiding and what the other terrorists are planning. And to win a war on terror, we must be able to detain them, interrogate them, question them. The policy of the United States is not to torture. The president has not authorized it. He will not authorize it. But he has done everything within the corners of the law to make sure that we prevent another attack on this country, which is what we have done in this administration. I am not going to comment on any specific alleged techniques.
He has done everything within the corners of the law? Is that where Cheney keeps his collection of radioactive spiders? In the corners of the law? The president has not authorized it. He will not authorize it. Oh, okay. Plausible deniability. Can't you just see Cheney and Bush sitting there some night? And Cheney says, look, I'm going to issue some orders. Don't worry about it. I'll take care of it. And Bush says, yes, sir. Jesus, God, this is sick. This is disgusting. It's hard to believe how many different and various scandals keep rolling out of this criminal enterprise. And no impeachment. FISA violations, illegal spying of Americans, rolling back environmental protections, illegal detention of citizens, torture, trumped-up weapons of mass destruction to start illegal wars, Blackwater mercenaries on the State Department payroll. Let's not even get into the whole U.S. attorney firings thing again. That's minor compared to the murder and the theft, the fraud, the lies, the deceit, and the impeachable offenses. Trillions of dollars of deficits. It's amazing that the United States has survived these last 6 years. But I digress. Back to the latest scandal, Torturegate. Next reporter asked Neutrino Perino, Dana, in September of last year, the president told the country about what had been a classified program of CIA prisons in other countries around the world. At that time, Mr. Bush said all the terrorists who were held, or alleged terrorists, I should say, who were held on those sites were no longer there. Are they, in fact, still actively operational?
I'm not going to comment on that. If the CIA decides to comment, I'll let them. What I can tell you is that any procedures that they use are tough, safe, necessary, and lawful.
Is it reasonable to assume if those prisons were closed that the president would have deemed that something to tell the country, and in the absence of that, we should assume they are still working?
I'm not going to comment whether or not. The president said that we would not get in the habit of doing press releases every time we had a prisoner. It's not smart.
Every time we had a prisoner, we're not going to do press releases. That wasn't the question, Dana. The question was whether or not secret prisons still exist, where we secretly torture people. And they're not terrorists. They're just people. You see, in order to be a terrorist, that believe it or not, Dana, that's a criminal label. You have to be convicted of terrorism, don't you? Maybe you don't any longer. Next reporter asked Legally Bland about some of the specifics about the nature of torture, which Bush claims we don't do. The reporter says, in a conference call in July, a senior administration official, Dana, said that they would no longer or wouldn't use extreme temperatures of heat and cold. Is that true?
I I don't know. I wasn't on the. I don't recall.
I guess the point is that if a senior administration official told us on a conference call that these methods wouldn't be used, why won't you say whether or not head slapping, waterboarding would be used?
I don't know. I don't know who was on the conference call. I know what I know, which is that techniques that we use are classified for a reason.
I don't know. I don't recall. I have no memory. I don't know. Why are you asking these questions? Like they tell me anything? Damn it, why did Tony quit right before the scandal broke? I don't know. I don't recall. I don't know. I have no idea. Shall we continue? The next reporter up to bat asked about the Bush crime family's definition of the corners of the law, where it concerns interrogation techniques, and how that kind of gray area could backfire if Americans are ever captured. Dana, you talk about being within the corners of the law, but are you satisfied that there's enough clarity? I mean, are you satisfied that the U.S.'s position on what torture is clear enough to other countries so that if an American were...
We follow our laws and we meet our international obligations. Absolutely.
In terms of another country, then, you feel that there is enough clarity in the definition that the administration has put forward that they wouldn't be able to look at something and say, well, that seems...
I'm not saying that reasonable people couldn't disagree on complex questions.
Stop another country from then taking their own definition and interpretation based on the administration.
Well, as I understand, under the Geneva Convention, every country was supposed to interpret it for themselves. And now we have.
That last statement, she says, as I understand it, under the Geneva Conventions, every country was supposed to interpret the Geneva Conventions for themselves. And now we have. What? The Geneva Conventions prohibiting the treatment of POWs, prohibiting laying out the parameters of treatment of civilians and civilian populations, that is all up to individual interpretation? So if a random country doesn't consider it torture to apply electrodes to, somebody's genitals, they can claim they're following their interpretation of the Geneva Convention. Is that what you're saying, Dana? If somebody believes that opening up an artery of a captive while the captive is awake and saying your artery is open, when you tell us what we want to know, we'll close it, otherwise you'll bleed to death. And that's not considered torture, Dana? If the people doing it interpret the Geneva Conventions as such that doesn't constitute torture? Jesus Christ, this woman is screwier than the previous three... press secretaries combined. Do you understand what this woman is saying, Truth Seeker? Oh my God. More after the break.
And now, the man conservatives love to hate, it's Mike Malloy.
10 before the hour, big article in today's New York Times about the total contempt and disrespect that the Bush crime family has for international law, American law, Congress, the courts, the American public, everybody. These are really, really, really evil, evil bastards. They just don't have the nerve to go ahead and set up the death camps. That's the only thing that separates these people from the Nazis. They haven't yet made that turn, have they? Huh? Other than that, well, back to today's White House press briefing with too much cappuccino Perino. The next reporter follows up on Doublespeak Dana's rationalization that reasonable people might call or might not call what the U.S. is doing torture. you know, reason with people when they capture people, you know, like on a battlefield or someplace like that, may have a difference of opinion as to whether or not this is torture or it isn't torture. But, you know, the reporter says, when you say I'm not disputing there can be legal disagreements between reasonable people, do you mean, Dana, disagreements on whether specific interrogation techniques amount to torture?
I wasn't thinking of that in particular, but that could be true as well.
But if there can be reasonable disagreements on what amounts to torture, then what you were actually saying is we don't believe what we do is torture.
Look, under the United States interpretation, and that December 2004 opinion that is publicly available at the Justice Department for everyone to see, we believe that we are following our laws and that we are meeting our international obligations in order to prevent attacks on Americans and our allies.
Prevent attacks? Funny. I would think it makes Americans and our allies less safe around the world when other countries hear about what we consider to be legal around the corners. You know, our torture tactics? I would think, Dana, that fact would be a terrorist recruiting tool and would justify the legal around the corners torture of Americans abroad. But then what do I know, Dana? You're the genius. What does she say under the United States interpretation? No, Dana. No. If you are talking about interpretations by the United States, that would probably, most people would consider that would be the Supreme Court. Supreme Court interprets the law. That's it. The Congress writes the law. The president either signs the law or doesn't sign the law, but the Supreme Court interprets the law. So when you say under the United States interpretation, what you mean is under Dick Cheney and Alberto Gonzalez's bizarre newspeak definitions, don't you, honey? Unbelievable. Last one. Reporter April Levine tries to pry more details from deep Dana Thrombosis about what she meant by it's up to individual countries to interpret the Geneva Convention. Ms. Levine says, back on the question about clarity, you said something that if there's a problem with understanding, it's left up to the countries to try to decipher the stipulations of the Geneva Conventions, which says that if there is some kind of clarity issue, it's supposed to be taken to an international criminal court. So,
which we are not going to do.
Why not?
I don't think it's necessary, April. We have clarified in the Detainee Treatment Act and in this December 2004 opinion that the United States does not torture. And outside of some individuals suggesting that we do, I think that our allies are comfortable, especially because of the protection that we're affording them as well.
Well, Dana, for many years now, this administration, this issue has come up over and over and over again. It's gone to the Hill, it's gone to courts, it's gone everywhere. And it seems to me that there is a problem with clarity. Maybe the people who put the Geneva Conventions together would be the ones to be able to help you out.
I don't think we're seeking their help. I think that we here in the United States are a proud country that is working within our laws to make sure that we are going about protecting the country from Al-Qaeda and other terrorists that want to attack us.
So do you understand what's going on here? Dana Perino is not only is she ignorant and in way over her head and easily manipulable, but the crack White House press corps sees her for what she is, a clown, useless. That's why the tone of the questions being presented to her are such as they are. Well, Dana, maybe the people who wrote the Geneva Conventions could help you sort it out. Oh, I don't think we're seeking their help. Perino says, I don't think it's necessary to go to an international criminal court for an interpretation. Well, of course not. The Bush criminals don't think any court is necessary. Not the FISA court, not the Supreme Court, not the international court. They're above the laws of mere humans. She says, I don't think we're seeking their help. I think that we here in the United States are a proud country. Oh, yeah. Yes. Every day I feel my chest swell, Dana, with even greater and greater waves of pride about what is being done in my name as an American by you and your thugs. Don't you feel it too, Dana? The pride. We torture. We lie. We invade countries for no reason. We cheat. We steal. We commit fraud. We commit murder. Mass murder. We destroy societies. We blow things up. We threaten the goddamn world, don't we, Dana? Yes, I feel proud! Oh my God, do I feel proud, Dana? Let somebody mess with us and we'll rip their head off and urinate in their necks. Right, baby? Eh? We're proud. Stand up, Dana. Get that flag lapel in your jacket. Son of a bitch, it's a good time to be an American, isn't it? Bah! Welcome back. It is about 7 minutes past the hour. About the only place I heard too much Cappuccino Perino today was from that press briefing. It was on NPR News, All Things Considered, this afternoon. I don't know. Maybe those sound bites were played someplace else. I have no idea. The only other place I can think they might show up would be on Randy Rhodes' program. Possibly Tom Hartman's. Hartman doesn't do that many sound bites, I don't think. I think he does. He has a lot of guests on. But so how are we to know when our media do not provide us, our television medium does not provide us with this kind of information? And again, that would be a ridiculous question, except for the fact that so many of us get what we consider to be news from television, and specifically from the so-called nightly news of these three corrupted, filthy networks, CBS, ABC, and NBC, where it concerns news. I would assume they're great entertainment networks. I don't know, because I work during prime time. But so-called prime time, Jesus. Do they still use that term, prime time, in the evening? I don't know. One more email here about the smoking thing we were talking about the other night. The way this came up was what Bush vetoed was the children's health care bill, of course, that would be financed by increasing cigarette taxes from the current 39 cents a pack up to 61 cents, or up to $1 a pack, 61 cent per pack increase. No new taxes except on cigarette smokers who probably statistically are going to die much sooner than people who don't smoke. I know there are exceptions to that rule, of course. Of course. But we've had a couple of emails in here about that issue. Here's one from AE who writes in, Mike, he's referring to the one email that I read tonight from Rick. AE calls him Rick the Smoker. A.E. writes, Mike, Rick the Smoker left out one obvious source of cost savings in the recent children's health care legislation veto. Although we regret the choice smokers make to shorten their lives through their own actions, there will also be great savings from all the children who won't be using social services because of their shortened lives. By dying young, these children will put less strain on the healthcare system, the education system, and finally on the retirement system, including Social Security and healthcare again. Healthcare again. In the years when all the debts of our time will be coming due, their sacrifice, the children's sacrifice, will be greatly appreciated. A nice playing of Gustav Mahler's Kinder Totenlieder, Dead Children's Songs, might be appropriate at this time. Well, it's sure not Enya, is it? See, that's why I've never cared too much for Mahler. I'm a great fan of classical music, but it's just... Thanks, A.E. Good point. What else we got here? Not too much more. And then we're going to take your phone calls. The number here is 800-989-1480. Recent soldier death in Afghanistan... Chiara Durkin was the woman's name, and this is reported by Reuters news agency, picked up all around the planet. I got this from the Sydney Morning News in Australia, I think. Chiara Durkin warned her family before returning to Afghanistan, quote, "If anything happens to me, you guys make sure it gets investigated," end quote. Now, it seemed a joke at the time could have been eerily prescient, as Ms. Durkin, a National Guard specialist, was found dead, shot once in the head within the fortified walls of Bagram Airfield in Afghanistan. The Pentagon is releasing no details aside from confirmation that Durkin was a, quote, non-combat, end quote, death. Durkin's sister, Deidre, said on CBS Early Show today, "We just want full disclosure." Now Durkin's family is demanding an independent investigation and has enlisted the help of Senators John Kerry and Edward Kennedy, who represent their home state of Massachusetts. Durkin, who worked in a finance office, told her family that she had uncovered some information that would upset other military officials. Durkin's older sister, Fiona, told the hometown newspaper, The Patriot Ledger, quote, "She was in the finance unit, and she said, 'I've discovered some things I don't like, and I made some enemies because of it.' And then she said in her lighthearted way, 'If anything happens to me, you guys make sure it gets investigated, okay?'" Durkin's sister, Fiona, said, "But at the time, we thought it was said more as a joke." Ms. Durkin died last Friday of a single gunshot wound to the head. The Army has not said whether a weapon was found near her body. The Defense Department says it is investigating the incident, according to reports. The family told television interviewers on the CBS Morning Show that they didn't believe Durkin killed herself because she seemed upbeat on a recent trip home. Only hours before her death, Durkin left her brother a cheerful voicemail and sang happy birthday to him, the family told ABC News. Her sister said the military is definitely holding back. As to why, we can only speculate. A lot of that going around, isn't there? Murdering our soldiers. But that's what happens when you employ organizations like Blackwater or Dying Corps or any of these other terrorist squads. You can have people murdered anytime, you want them murdered. And there's no unit loyalty. You know, there's no soldier that says, well, I can't murder my own comrade here. I can't kill another soldier. Of course you can't. Go away. And then they bring in Blackwater or someone else. Iraq has ordered $100 million worth of light military equipment from China for its police force. The Iraqis are saying that the U.S. is unable to provide the material, and when they are able to, is too slow in delivering the arms shipments. That's according to the Iraqi president, Jalal Talabani. The deal with China, not previously made public, has alarmed military analysts who note that Iraq's security forces are already unable to account for more than 190,000 weapons supplied by the U.S. Many of these are believed to be in the hands of Shiite and Sunni militias, insurgents, and other forces seeking to destabilize Iraq and target U.S. troops. Oh, but wait a minute. I thought it was the Iranians. Oh, I get it. Okay. News of the Iraqi arms deal came as Lieutenant General Raymond Odierno, the top U.S. commander for day-to-day operations in Iraq, said he expected a U.S. presence would be required in Iraq for at least 5 more years and would involve 25 to 50,000 troops. The Chinese arms deal sheds light on the larger dispute between the United States and Iraq over rebuilding that country's armed forces and police. Iraqi officials have long complained about the supply of weapons and equipment for their personnel. It's not there. Well, there's an easy answer to this, folks. You don't need to get so upset. We don't want you to be armed. We want you to be like the citizens of New Orleans. We want you to be pliable because, you see, your country is sitting on top of our oil.
Seem orderly. When one man makes all the decisions, there is no need for negotiation or compromise.
21 past the hour. Regarding today's press briefing, it is up now, according to Carolyn, at cspan.org. Just go to cspan.org and the whole thing will be there. They showed it on C-SPAN television apparently at 7:30 this evening. But go to cspan.org and get the whole press briefing since there's no other media outlet that will provide that. Remember when Chucklenuts labeled North Korea along with Iran and who is the other? The Axis of Evil. Huh? Iran, North Korea, and was it Syria? It wasn't Iraq. It was Syria. And putting North Korea in there was kind of like, even the most jingoistic Pat Buchanan types were kind of scratching their heads going, North Korea? You know, in the so-called Axis of Evil. And Bush also, over the years, has referred to, he once said that he loathed Kim Il Crazy, the leader of North Korea. It's very easy. Well, sure, but he's deranged. You know, Kim Il Crazy is deranged, and Bush loathed him, kind of like most of us here in the United States loathe George W. Bush. But anyway, as pointed out today in the Times on their, I think their lead editorial, Score One for Diplomacy, they point out that an agreement has been struck here between North Korea regarding their nuclear program. And if they keep their promise, they'll begin dismantling it within weeks and finish the job by year's end. To get this deal, the Bush crime family, they had to shove Cheney and Addington and Bush and the rest of these monsters out of the way and come up with a mixture of diplomatic creativity and flexibility and patience and follow-through, you know, diplomacy stuff. A team of American experts is going to travel to North Korea next week to begin the disabling, at our expense, of North Korea's nuclear reactor, plutonium separation plant, and other parts of its Yongbyon nuclear complex. We're going to go do it. The North Koreans also promised to come clean about how much plutonium they produced. Some spooks suggest 10 bombs worth. And to prove that they're not hiding a separate uranium enrichment program, as the Bush crime family keeps stomping their feet and screaming that the Koreans are doing. The Times points out that the U.S. and North Korea's neighbors will provide North Korea with a large amount of fuel oil. And the Bush crime family has also promised to lift trade sanctions. It's also promised to drop North Korea from its list of terrorism-sponsoring nations. And it's also promised to move toward normalizing relations. Yeah, diplomacy stuff. Now, the usual hallelujah chorus of conservative critics inside and outside this corrupt administration are already denouncing the deal, and they're calling its chief negotiator, Christopher Hill, a sellout. How long before they start waving rolled umbrellas in his face and calling him, you know, that British guy that thought he had a deal for peace in our time? And the attacks on Christopher Hill are going to only get worse, of course. Now, if the Bush crime family had any decency or moxie or class, they would defend Christopher Hill. But they're not, because Bush and Cheney didn't want this. They want as much war as they can possibly glom up. Now, the next phase, getting rid of North Korea's fissile material and any weapons, will be even tougher to negotiate. North Korea is insisting on the same kind of light water nuclear reactors that were promised under a 1994 agreement with the Clinton administration. And, of course, as soon as Bush illegally took office in this country, that was deep-sixed and trashed. Light wire nuclear reactors? In a pig's ass, you ain't getting anything like that. No, we want war. And one last thing here. I have not devoted any time to this because there's been just too much, too many other topics. And that is the butchery that has occurred in Myanmar, Burma, call it what you want, because of the support given to that military regime by the transnational, mostly U.S. or U.K.-based oil companies. The Burmese people, of course, are being butchered. There are reports filtering out now that are starting to smell like Cambodia after we totally destabilized that country in our adventure in Vietnam. The killing fields, monks, apparently by the scores, have been taken out into the forest, dragged out of their monasteries, and executed. Depending on what report you want to listen to, whether it's from the BBC or the French news agency or even some intrepid U.S. reporters, the butchery of these monks may rise into the hundreds, which raises the question, and Andre brought it up, where is George Bush and his freedom and democracy move in Burma? Why aren't the senators calling on George Bush to liberate Burma? No coalition of the willing? No shock and awe? There's too many men, too many people, making too many problems. And I'm not allowed to go around. Can't you see it in the
Got the flying monkey right blues? Here's the cure, Mike Malloy.
Okay, okay, okay. North Korea, Iran, and Iraq. Well, you people are merciless, aren't you? It was so long ago, so far away. All right, the phone number here is 800-989-1480. Let's do some phone calls, starting with AJ, the Music Factory, calling from the Catskills in New York State. Hey, AJ.
Hey, handsome. How are you tonight?
Just getting by.
Good. Well, I'm glad to hear at least that. Good evening to you and the whole Malloy family. You know, it's my guess that the soldier or woman who died in Afghanistan, Chiara, it's my guess that her name is Kiara.
Oh, okay.
Okay, just because it happens to be my wife's middle name.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
My wife has four middle names, and one of them is Kiara. So, before I get into what I wanted to talk to you about, I was listening to Dana Perino and your sound bites, and what I found particularly scary, if you recall, not so long ago, she was Tony Snow's assistant press secretary.
Yes.
Can you imagine who or what is assistant press secretary now?
Oh, God.
It makes you pray that Dana doesn't go anywhere.
I wonder if it can walk upright.
Well, that would be our commander-in-chief.
Oh, my God.
But I digress.
Yeah.
So this whole thing, I was sitting at my computer, and up came Huffington Post's website, and you know, splashed on the front page is Larry Craig is not going to resign, and I laughed myself silly.
Well,
because, yes?
I was just going to say, why should he?
Well, first of all, you know, for me personally to Senator Craig, thank you.
Yes, yes,
thank you, Senator.
Of course.
But, you know, I sent you an email about this, and I hope you don't mind that I sort of throw a spotlight on it, but he said that he was, apparently, his explanation is he said he was guilty to make it go away.
Yes.
Then he said that he was going to resign or intends to resign on September 30th to make that go away.
Yeah, right.
Then he says, well, you know, first I want to see what the outcome of the trial is, or the ruling is.
To make that go away.
And now he's not going away.
He needs a little jar of pixie dust.
Well, don't you see a consistency of strategy here?
However,
sinister.
I do.
My God! I mean, if your kid did this, you'd give him a shot upside the head and say, "Come on,
I'd say, "Here, whap! Now give me back your jar of pixie dust."
Yeah, maybe you have, for all I know. But you know what really blows me away is the people of Idaho. Can you really trust this guy to tell the truth? Can you really trust that what he has told you in the past is the truth when in 1 month he has just lied his way through this experience?
But, AJ, he's a Republican, and the people who put him in office are Republicans. Surely you jest when you bring up the word truth.
Surely I cry, Mike. I am so at the end of my tether with all of this, and quickly, I think that if they don't use in the 2008 campaign every word of George Bush's acceptance speech of the nomination in 2000, where he promised to bring back honor and dignity to the White House, where he said that the military was broken and he will fix it. They could just replay that again and again and again, and there is your Democratic victory.
But AJ, these are Democrats. They don't want victory. They want a bitch and whine from the corners about the unfairness of it all, and how, boy, if we were in power. But they don't want victory, you see, because if they did want victory, they would do exactly what you're talking about. There is so much of that stuff out there. They don't have to go spend millions of dollars to ad directors and creative directors to come up with something really cool for their campaigns coming up, you know, the destructive negative side of politics that is just around the corner. All they have to do is what you just said. Just take any moment from the past 7 years where Bush was talking, and just play that for 30 seconds and then stand back and say, you want more of this?
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
all.
Yeah. And I can't help but be reminded of Bush and the entire regime when I see this approach that Larry Craig has exercised in trying to weasel out of his responsibility. And, oh, Christ, it just drives me nuts. Hey, listen, I hope you have a wonderful trip.
Well, thanks.
I may be tempted to call Sam Cedar, although...
I hope so.
You know what? You've got a style about you that makes a person forget that there are thousands and thousands and thousands of people listening to our conversation. Just feels like you and me.
Yeah.
And I don't know if anyone else has that style, but maybe I'll check Sam out. Anyway,
Sam's a trip. I said the other night, I believe in what somebody said about D.C. If you're a politician, you want a friend in Washington, get a dog. I really don't have any friends in talk radio, with the exception of Peter Werby, and Werby is like 99.9% retired. I have a lot of acquaintances in talk radio. This is not a kind of business where you hang out and go get a beer after work. You know, most of us now have studios in our homes or studios away from radio stations, away
right.
from corporate headquarters, and it's kind of an isolating business. But Sam is, I don't know. I've often looked at Sam as just a really nice guy who, every time I'm around him, I want to go up and scratch him behind his ears. I don't know why I want to do that.
You think that right leg would move up and down?
I think it would. But
hey, listen, I want to quickly ask you a question, then I'll get out of here. But I throw this out to you and your listeners because I'm looking for an answer. In the past week or so, I heard a prominent Republican, whether it was a pundit or a legislator, I don't know, but somebody out there said that Bush no longer cares or doesn't care about the Republican Party's future. And I really wanted to look up that quote and who said it, and I cannot seem to remember who it was.
You know, I
somebody will shoot it to you.
Yeah, I remember the same thing. I think it was some fringe Republican politician, maybe, or by fringe, I mean part of the base.
I thought it illustrated the slow separation. You know, that he's radioactive, and there's no choice. They're going to have to separate themselves from him.
That's true.
So.
And it'll be fun listening to, you know, how when you have tape put on a part of your body that might be particularly hairy, and then you have to pull it off, and there's that moment where you just shriek. That's what's going to happen when Bush and the Republicans separate. And it's going to be just music to my ears, AJ. I don't know about you. Hey, listen,
yeah.
Thanks. Take care.
Thanks for your good work.
All right. See you later,
right,
AJ.
Yep.
We'll talk again. Providing the plane doesn't crash and the boat doesn't sink. Right?
What is it AJ said about how he feels like he's just having a one-on-one conversation with you?
Yeah.
I feel like that, too. I mean, can I ask you, did you buy gum today for the plane? Because you and I, we have so much. Can we just talk for a minute? We have so much to talk about.
Yeah,
because,
we do,
you know,
yeah.
We're taking this trip on Saturday.
That's right.
And I know I'm going to forget the battery charger for the camera.
Yeah, probably.
I'm terrified I'm going to forget Molly's Cinderella DVD.
Oh, my God.
And we'll be on the plane.
No. Uh-uh.
And either the battery will die or they'll have to make an emergency landing.
I bought
a
lot of sugarless gum. But you know what's in sugarless gum?
Baby laxative.
Yeah, sorbitol.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Every little bit helps.
Yeah, that's true.
And
anything else on your list there? Do you have safety pins down?
I can't remember if I bought cat food for the sitter.
Well, that's up for the cat sitter will take care
I'm,
of it. Yeah.
Well, they'll refill it, but I've got to provide it.
Yeah, what else? Anything?
I don't know. I just...
We have the mail stopped.
We did. And
the newspapers.
And I did the newspapers,
right.
And you did the mail.
Right.
And I guess that's about it.
Yeah.
And we got the scopolamine patch.
That's true. For you.
Right.
I don't get seasick.
You're not going
to. Yeah.
Well.
All right. Well, listen, let me go back to the program. If anything,
all right.
If anything comes up,
just
jump right in.
Okay. You won't forget your cell phone.
No.
Okay.
No.
I want to verify that I got that international dialing plan on there, though, tomorrow.
Remind me. You're going to call Verizon?
Call Verizon.
Yeah, okay. All right. Anything else comes up, just jump right in.
I'll let you know.
Yeah. Okay. Back to your phone calls. D.B. Cooper is calling from Michigan, listening on the Internet. Hey, D.B., how you doing?
Hey, Mike. It's been a long time. How you doing?
I'm doing fine. How about you?
Oh, not bad. Not bad. Hanging in there. I really thought that was quite the last couple of subjects that you've gone through were...
out there.
They were humorous. But what I called about was being here in West Michigan and going to DeVos Hall to see different shows and whatnot, being a musician and whatnot, this whole DeVos relationship with Eric Prince.
Uh-huh.
You know, the man, thank goodness he didn't become our governor.
Yeah, he tried to buy his way in or Amway his way in as governor.
I really figured he'd make it, too.
Yeah,
but he didn't. So I guess all I wanted to say, I've got friends, a lot of friends in influential places, not that I'm as rich as they are, but I know enough about that, and it is just, he's so filthy rich that it's a miracle that he didn't make his way in. All I wanted to say is that this Prince guy is very, very, very apparent. I mean, he's lying and laughing about it right in front of everybody. So that's basically all I call to tell him.
Yeah, well, no, I agree with you. And also, both Eric and his in-laws, because I think it's his sister who married into the Amway family,
right.
they are all fundamentalist religious killers.
I know, and that's just so blasphemous in its own way, if you want to look at it that way. I mean, how can you be so Christian and want to kill people to make a living?
Oh, I know. Well, how can you be so Muslim and want to kill people? It's that religious fanaticism that just makes my blood run cold, and you find it in just damn near every religion. Hey, listen, DB, thanks, man. Take care. We'll talk again, okay? We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy.
Q-tips. I need Q-tips.
Q-tips, all right. When you can't find a friend, you still got the radio. The radio.
Proof that fish and humans can coexist peacefully. It's more of Mike Malloy.
Sunglasses. I can't forget sunglasses.
No, don't forget that. Pepto-Bismol, too. Michael is calling from Fremont, California. Michael, welcome to the program.
Hi, Mike. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I was driving home tonight, and I had, my brain going mile a minute, and I was connecting the dots and thinking about how things are falling in line. And I was worried about, George Bush and Iran, and is he going to bomb Iran before he gets out of office, and
right.
What would the rest of the world's reaction be to that?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking about not the Soviet Union anymore, Russia and China,
right.
And the fact that they get their oil from Iran, and they're not going to be happy about it if we start moving in there.
Well, I'm sure word has gone out through the famous back channels from a couple of countries around the world that have the wherewithal to tell the United States, your adventurism is fine up to a point, but don't go into Iran.
Mm-hmm.
Because all of a sudden, you'll notice the rhetoric has been dialed back a little bit on Iran. Now, I don't know. Bush and Cheney are Cheney is absolutely mad.
Right.
He's completely insane. Bush is so easily manipulated, I could manipulate him. So,
right.
So between those two, you never know. But I'm sure word has gone out, probably from the sources you're talking about, probably from the Russians and the Chinese, and they've just made it very clear, if you go into Iran, we will do everything in our power to destroy you, and you'll never know it, because we're not going to bomb you. We're just going to take your money and turn it into the monopoly money that it really is. We're all going to start trading in euros, and we will watch as the United States of America just implodes. So I think that word has gone out where it concerns Iran. If I've read everything correctly, has the second largest provable oil reserves on the planet after Saudi Arabia. Now, I don't know how that factors in with Russia, because they have tremendous oil reserves, too. And on the other hand, you know, maybe the Russians would like to see a war in Iran, because that would cut off the Iranian oil supply going into the market, which would immediately push the price of oil up above $100, $110, $120 a barrel. And the Russians would love that. So I don't know anymore. I don't know how this game is played. It's not played on ideological, you know, Soviet Union versus or the commies versus the Americans. It's not played that way anymore.
Right. But it is if you take it to a different stage, if you take it to the ideological stage of fanatics and religious fanatics.
Yeah.
And the idea of having fundamentalist Christians in the White House who believe in the last generation. And believe in the Book of Revelations with that wacky fire and brimstone rapture ending.
It is wacky, isn't it?
Yeah, and if you put all these things together, it sounds like they want a shootout.
Well, I think they do. I think they do. So any warning that comes from such a figure as Putin, who may be the Antichrist to some of these people, any warning that comes from, and isn't Russia supposed to be the land of Gog, or is that Magog? I don't know. In the great final battle on the plains of Armageddon, where Satan leads the armies of one of those, and then the Christians, the first thing they have to do is butcher all the Jews who won't become Christians, and barely have time to catch their breath, and then have to take on the minions of Satan.
Right.
But you're right. They're in our military. The way these people think, they're in our government. They're on our Supreme Court. They are in our Congress. And I think some of them are even chattering away like little squirrels inside Hillary Clinton's brain.
Wouldn't surprise me.
You know, we have to always be vigilant, do we not?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay.
Constant vigilance.
Yeah, constant. Thank you, Michael.
Thank you.
All right.
You take care.
All right. You too. Take care. Yeah, when you have religious nutballs, just every place, I mean, stand back away from the wall upon which you have just attached a map of the earth and throw your darts. And wherever your dart lands, I'm sure there's some religious fanatic who is running things there or attempting to. It's incredible. You know, I just long for the good old days of the atheistic Soviet Union. At least with them, it was just a matter of kill or be killed. It wasn't a matter of you know, they were going to kill us and the minions of Satan would come boiling out of the bowels of the earth with fire and brimstone. And, you know, I can never remember Khrushchev or, well, I don't remember that much about Stalin, but any of these Russian leaders ever saying, you know, we are going to condemn you to hell, you know, the mighty sword of the Russian Orthodox cross is going to decapitate you. I don't think that ever happened. You know, now, you know, the Muslims say that, and so do the Christians. You know, the mighty sword of Muhammad or the mighty sword of Jesus is going to, you know, cut you and cut you good. I just wish there was some way to just convert the entire planet to atheism. Wouldn't it be a lot easier? Oh, maybe not. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy. Stay with us. You can sing along.
We can't forget Molly's Sleepy CD. You know, the music.
Oh, that's right.
What are we going to do?
Oh, I don't know. We can't take that Bose radio you got with all the points from American Express. We never could afford it, but thank God you got it. We can't carry that with us. It's probably against the TSA rules anyway.
Well, it's too big and heavy.
I know. Well, oh, well, we'll think of something. Oh, welcome back. It's about 7 past the hour. This is the Molloy Show on Nova M Radio Network, final hour. We've Kathy and I have had a hard time finding time to sit down and work on the last vestiges of the list of the stuff we have to take. We're going to be gone tomorrow night, all next week, and the following Monday on a trip with 60 other truth seekers to the Mexican Riviera. This is the cruise that was talked about back in April, May. Was it May? Time just rips by when you're going insane, doesn't it? Huh? Just, I had no idea that October would get here this quickly. So we're looking forward to it. Neither of us have ever cruised before, so we're well, at least not on a boat. So we're curious to see what this experience will be like, and looking forward to meeting the 60 or so people who booked this event along with us. We're going to Cabo San Lucas, Mazatlan, Puerto Vallarta, and we've already looked at some of the things to do along the way, like horseback riding or attending a Muslim terrorist camp or you know, stuff like that. There's also activities for the children, learning how to throw things through big plate glass windows. I don't know. No, we're going to have a good time. I swear to God we are. But being locked down on a boat with a three-year-old, I'll tell you, Kathy, the people going with us on this trip are either in for a real treat or a real shock where it concerns Molly.
I hope they like to babysit.
Yeah, maybe we can find some people to babysit so we can dance under the moonlight. Is that what we're going to do? KTLK's Johnny Wendell will sit in for me tomorrow night. Sam Cedar fills in all next week. And then my good friend Peter Werby rounds it out next Monday, the 15th. We'll be back on the air the 16th, provided we are not captured by revolutionary forces, the plane doesn't crash, and the boat doesn't sink. We'll be back. Back to your phone calls from Miami. Marsh, is it Marsh or Marsha listening on WINZ? Hello, Marsh. Boom, beep, boom, beep, boom. Hello, Marsh. Hi, Marsh. Okay, let's put Marsh on hold. Chris is calling from Tampa Bay, listening on XM Satellite Radio. Hello, Chris. Okay, don't tell me we have a phone system problem. Chris? Okay, let's try one more, and then we will forget about phone calls. Tony is calling from Torrance, California, listening on the Internet. Hey, Tony.
Hey, Mike, how are you?
Oh, hi. It's working.
Remember me? I used to listen to you. Remember, I used to call you my blue-eyed soul brother.
Your blue-eyed soul brother back in Chicago days.
Right.
Good God, how did you wind up in Torrance, California?
Honey. It's a long story, but anyway.
Danny's not here, Mrs. Torrance. Okay.
You know, I was too happy when I found you again. So.
Yeah, well, I'm thank God you did. All right, what you got on your mind?
Yeah. What I called about was, you know what, when what? We look at this whole situation, I am unashamedly black and unapologetically Christian,
I'm not
mm-hmm. a fanatic and a crazy person. And I think what even us smarter people are falling for the okey-doke with the religion thing. You know what I mean? Because anybody knows if they studied any religion, all of them are the exact same, from Buddha to Islam to Christianity. It's we were once part of God. We go away from them. God sends a person here on earth to show us how to go back to God. We kill them, and that's it.
I think I'd rather go back to Chicago.
All right.
But that's right. So if it all comes from the same source, then I just have to ask Tony, if it all comes from the same source, why all the fussing and fighting? Why all the screaming and butchery and knives and guns and bullets and, you know?
Because people don't even believe in what the whole religion. You know, I've heard you talk about it before. Like you said, people that are followers of Christ, listen to what he said or live your life like he lived it. not all this other garbage. That's just for human beings doing what they do. And to me, the whole system in the world, what's going on, it really is about white supremacy. Now, I'll just say that. You know,
well, I don't think there's any doubt about that.
Right.
Up to this point, it's soon going to be about Chinese superiority. But up to this point, the history of the world has been, Caucasians traveling around the world, beating folks up and taking over their countries.
Right.
You're right. You're absolutely right. No
and
denying
that's
that.
Basically, that's the problem. I mean, to me, all of us, regardless of religion, regardless of what, to me, that's what white supremacists do. They know that's the stick that works. So if they keep people fighting and saying, oh, you know, I'm an atheist or I'm a Christian, or, you know, we're so busy worrying about that, we're not worrying about the systems that are put in place to keep everybody oppressed. You know, and I think that is the smokescreen we can't keep falling for, that we got to get, you know, get past, to get to the real deal of what the real global system is. Because I hear you talking about the Asians, but look what they did in Japan, dropped the first atomic bomb. They will blow up everybody before.
That's right.
You know what I mean? They give up power.
And see, this is something for you to consider, Tony. See, if you were a humanist, that's code for atheist. If you were a humanist, if the whole world was humanist, there wouldn't be any of this arguing about whose God has the most muscle, or whose key to salvation is the one that really works. If the whole world would just accept the fact that we're all one family, and we all live here until we don't live here anymore, and it would be good to get along, and if somebody wants to think, well, you know, I'm going to get my slice of pie in the great by and by, well, if folks want to believe that, okay, but that lessens the value on what we do while we're here.
I just
think, you know, I'm going to form the Church of Malloy that's going to go out there and try to convert everybody into being a humanistic believer in Gaia, in Mother Earth, and let the rest of us...
The true spirit, because see, people get caught up in religion. It's about spirituality. Now, what you're talking about, that's spirituality.
That's
what connects everybody. But most people are on such a low vibration, you know, because we're all just energy anyway.
That's true.
You know what I mean? That's going to be recycled.
I do know what you mean.
You know what I mean? So it's like, if you truly look at the essence of all other religions, that's exactly what it is.
There you go.
For political purposes, people do what they do.
They do what they do, and what they do is make it miserable for the rest of us.
For everybody, absolutely. Yeah.
All right, listen, Tony, I'm glad you checked in. I hope to hear from you again. I'm going to be gone next week, but I'll be back. So keep listening, okay? And thank you very much for calling. You take care. Yeah, Tony's from the old days, back in, wasn't that long ago? It's only, 2000, 1990? Well, I guess it was about 6-7 years ago. We had a crew of callers when we were on in Chicago, just like we do now, frankly, here on Nova M. But we had a crew of callers on the WLS that were just astonishingly talented. We had great fun working there. We had great fun working here, too. Tim is calling from Virginia Beach, Virginia, listening on Sirius Satellite Radio. Hey, Tim.
Hey, Mike. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing all right. How are you?
I'm good. I'm a phony soldier. That's a joke. I'm actually in the military, but that's not why I called tonight. I called tonight because of the president's veto against the child health care plan.
Yeah.
And I find it funny that after he vetoed it, like every other veto, he's had cameras around to videotape him vetoing. It's such a symbolic thing for him to veto things.
Yeah, this one, he went to the outhouse and did this one.
Yeah, pretty much. And then he opened up his speech later that day with, oh, it's for the poor kids. When that is totally against his base, because everything he has done is for the rich kids. And him himself being a rich kid, I couldn't imagine why he would veto a plan that would have helped old him and GW out. I understand it, and I really don't understand. It's how the Republicans are saying, "Oh, we can muster the strength to keep this veto in place." I mean, it seems like political suicide, and I don't understand how the American public can look at this and say, oh, he did it for us. Well, no, he didn't really do it for you.
Well, the truth is on this one, Tim, is what did I read? 67% of the American public backs this children's health insurance. So I think this is going to cost Bush an awful lot. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
This ain't no technological breakdown. Oh, no, this is the road.
Hey, Truth Seekers, it's time for your humble and obedient servant, more of Mike Malloy.
Past the hour. Sarah is calling from Brevard, North Carolina, listening on the internet. Hey, Sarah, welcome to the program.
Hi, Mike. I don't know why I'm so envious of you going on this cruise. And I really wanted to go. But you may remember I'm the person who had the heart attack back in June listening to your show.
Oh, I'm sorry to laugh. I didn't mean to laugh.
Well, I've laughed a lot, too. However, I'm recovering quite nicely, thank you.
Well, good. Well, I'm glad to hear that.
But I used to be a travel editor and on the West Coast, and I took cruises. I took those very same cruises, except I think we skipped Cabo and went to Acapulco and took my son, and it was the adventure of his life. And I lived in Puerto Vallarta back in 69 and 70 when it was a tiny village, about 5,000 to 7,000 people. And I kept going back for about 30 years, and I kept saying, well, they're trying to ruin it, but they haven't ruined it yet. So before they did, I quit going. But I love it there. And I think it's about 350,000 people now.
Wow.
But,
that big, huh?
Yeah. Well, I don't know the exact number, but it's up there. And but fortunately, most of the growth has gone to the north of town. So if you go into the old town and go down into the beach, the old beach, please go to El Dorado. I'm sure they're still there with the same menu.
Oh, great.
And
okay.
It's a great place to hang out and watch the sunset.
Hold on just a second. Are you writing this down, Kathy?
Old El Dorado.
El Dorado.
El Dorado on the main beach in town, down across the river. I had a little house there on the river for $30 a month when I lived there. And I know a great hotel where you can still stay a half a block from the beach. But
wow.
So about maybe they're up to $15 a night now.
Oh, my God. Well, but inflation will do that.
Yeah, it will, won't it? And the peso is about equal to the dollar now. It's really been going up.
Oh, my God.
But cruising is, I had one time a respiratory infection. This was in the early 70s. That went to a lung specialist. He said, you're coming down with emphysema. In 10 years, you're going to be dead. I went on this cruise to Mexico and came back with absolutely no sign of it.
Really?
Yeah. See, and so I went back to him and said, ha, 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 you know. He checked me out, said, you're clear. And he said, well, they said sea voyages. They used to say sea voyages were good for what ailed you.
They did indeed.
Yes, and it really worked for me.
Well,
fact,
I've got a lot of stuff that ails me. I'm hoping this will work.
I don't know with 60 Truth Seekers.
Well, most of the stuff is mental, so I'm you know.
Yeah. Oh, it's wonderful. In fact, when I quit working for magazines while I was working for magazines, I was doing worldwide tours, adventure tours, and I had anywhere from 15 to 75 people.
And oh my!
I can tell you, it's you know, but when I started freelancing and staying at home in the mountains here, I decided, because I did have a talent for it, to read tarot cards on cruise ships. And Cunard Lines hired me, and I travel the Mediterranean. So if you go on another cruise, I highly recommend the Mediterranean. But you don't have to worry about Molly. She will have a wonderful time.
Well, that's good. The only thing we were worried about a little bit, Sarah, was, maybe Molly, you know, deciding to practice her swan dive off the side. Sarah, thank you. It's good to hear from you again. I'm glad you're feeling better. Take care. Did you write that stuff down?
El Dorado.
It's across the river.
Across the river.
Right.
And which okay. port was that again?
One of them.
Right.
I think she was. I think it was Puerto Vallarta. I believe it was Puerto Vallarta. Okay. I saw you furiously taking notes in there. I just. Marge is calling from Indiana. Marge, welcome to the program.
You forgot to ask her, was she there when Liz and Dick were making the movie?
Is that where they were? Night of the Iguana?
Yeah, or some kind of lizard. I don't know.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's right. That was back when Puerto Vallarta or whatever was.
Yep. Puerto Vallarta.
Yeah, now if we've got the wrong city where they made the movie, I will have 34 emails in here within the next. Oh, here they come.
I'm pretty damn sure that's where it was.
I know. Well, me too.
But anyway, the only thing I would suggest, you know, that was 35 years ago, and especially for Molly, bottled water and nothing that you can't peel or cook.
Nothing that you can't peel. Okay, all right.
Okay, that's you too if you got a tender tummy. Oh, one other thing for your trip and for all your truth seekers that are going along. Yeah. Take off all the old baggage tags from outside the luggage. That's how luggage gets lost. Just have the one that's, you know, to your destination where you're going now.
All right.
And be sure you got ID on the inside.
All right, hold on now, because I know you didn't call
Don't
about that.
Don't lose me. No, I didn't.
No, let me put you on hold. We'll talk about what you really called when we come back. We have a couple open lines here, 800-989-1480. Jump in and join us.
Take off old luggage tags. Tech breaks. Mike Malloy Show, you are now entering a flying monkey free zone.
We are talking with Marge, who's called in from Indiana. Something about a letter from your congressman?
Well, I called him first.
Okay.
You know me, I'm electronically challenged.
Yes, you are.
And so when they started talking about analog to digital, I've been watching for all kinds of articles so I can sort of update my limited knowledge.
Yes.
Well, on the 5th of September in my local paper, there was one article from the Associated Press called FCC Auction Shrouded. What they were talking about is the secrecy was on display during a recent debate over how the government should auction off the rights to billions of dollars worth of publicly owned airwaves. Remember, right. I said that once and you laughed at me?
I did.
Let's see, where's FCC rules say, quote, content of agenda items, close quote, such as draft proposals are, quote, non-public information, oh, lovely, shall not be disclosed directly or indirectly to any person outside the commission. That's the FCC commission we're talking about. Employees who break the rule can be terminated. Isn't that lovely?
It certainly runs counter to the idea that the airwaves belong to the public.
You think?
Yeah, I do.
The people that they're selling the airwaves to are people like AT&T and Google and Comcast. You know, they want to buy the airwaves, and then they're going to rent them back to us at whatever rate they decide, because God knows there's no regulations on this stuff.
I know. It's the whole concept of mass media has it's just been so twisted and shredded where
I can't even get the Cubs in the playoffs on a local channel. It's all it's all cable.
Yeah, right.
dirty. No.
I know.
So I called up my friendly congressman, one Pete Fislosky,
yeah.
and I told him that I was unhappy with the way things go. And let me just read this one paragraph from him.
Okay.
As you may know, I love this, the Deficit Reduction Act of 2005, please note the date, PL 109-171, required television broadcasters to switch to digital broadcasting and end analog broadcasting by February 17, 2009. Further, PL 109-171 required the Federal Communication Commission to begin auctioning by no later than January 28, 2008, part of the 700 megahertz spectrum to be vacated by analog broadcasters. Doesn't that just warm the cockles of your heart?
I have no idea what he's talking about.
Well, what it amounts to is they're going to sell the, you know, these people that want this law in the first place helped them write the law in 2005 when there was nothing but Republicans, you know, running the joint.
Right.
Said that it's required by the television broadcasters who helped write the law. And so now that they can do as they damn well please, and we're screwed.
Yes, we are. That's why you have got to figure out how to use an internet, how to use a computer, so that you can get away from being trapped like this.
Oh, I am so royally pissed off. I swear. You notice how I struggled not to say words that you wouldn't allow on your air when I was just talking about this.
I noticed that, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I noticed that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I always appreciate your restraint. I think that's the one thing I appreciate the most about you, Marge, is that, you know, word has it around the neighborhood that you can cuss like a sailor. And I'm just real glad that when you call the program, you force yourself to...
Who, me? I'm a lady.
To not do that. Marge, thanks a lot. I'm glad you called in. Just
yeah, well, bon voyage, mes amis. And when are you due back on the air?
A week from Monday. A week from Tuesday.
A week from Tuesday. Okay.
Week from Tuesday.
Have a good time. Drink only bottled water and bottled beer and bottled soda. And stay away from the ice cubes.
All right. I'll do it. Thanks, Marge.
You
take care, too. No ice cubes. I drink my Jack Black in a...
Ice cubes?
No, don't. You can't take those.
No, I know. I can't. I can't take those. You know, you can get those little plastic things that are filled with some kind of gel. Oh, I probably couldn't take that on the airplane.
No, you probably...
So many things that... You know, you can only take 3 ounces of like, shampoo on the plane.
Yes, I'm aware of that.
Who uses 3 ounces of shampoo?
Joe, you do every time you shampoo. Joe is calling from Miami, listening on WINZ. Hey, Joe.
Hey, Mike. It's really great to talk to you. I've been listening to you for a long time, and I've always wanted to get the opportunity to talk to you. Finally, tonight, I heard your phone number. So I gave you a call. Look, what I have to say is might be a little bit, hazy, vague, or whatever, but
uh-huh.
I just, you know, I see a lot of what's happening in government and politics and all this stuff as just a, the logical result of the way that our society is, the way that we are as individuals. I mean, you know, a Bush can't get elected and can't get into a position of power like that, in my opinion, unless we let him.
Uh-huh, that's, yeah.
So to say that we have to fix the government or we have to remove Bush is not really the right way to go about trying to fix these problems. It's not really a political solution. Because let's say we get rid of Bush and the Democrats get in there. The Democrats were saying in the debates that they didn't even think they could stop the war for 4 years. So it's this country, it's this mindset of the American people. We don't have a higher awareness about, you know, our place in this world. I don't know if it's, that's not possible. You know, you try to survive and maybe you don't think so much about, spirituality or things like that, but it sure seems like that's what's lacking. Mm-hmm. And until that happens, until you know, somewhere along the grassroots of this culture, if things don't change there, then there's a vacuum, and things like religion are going to fall into that vacuum, and these kinds of ideologies, the fascism is going to come in too, because people seem to only be concerned about themselves, their immediate family, their house, and their job.
Uh-huh.
And whatever the government does, well, that's probably the right thing they're doing. I don't really want to think too much about that.
Right, right.
Anyway.
And that's a good way to lose everything that has been struggled for in this country for the past 200 and some years. Yeah, I hear you loud and clear. Joe, thanks, man. I appreciate you checking in. Douglas is calling from Sacramento, listening on KSAC. Hey, Douglas.
Michael.
Douglas.
Yes, good to talk to you again.
My pleasure.
I've been meaning to tell you, I was pleased to meet you. I was there for the impeachment forum.
In Sacramento. Oh, my God, that was what, a year and a half ago?
Oh, I think it was more like it was going on.
2 years ago.
Yeah, something
yeah,
like that.
I think it was.
It was back in the robust days of Air America.
Yeah, it was a very interesting. That was when the California Democratic Party was having its convention, I believe.
Close to it, anyway. I want to talk a little bit about unscrubbed quotes. You know, there's a guy out there who collects those. I can't remember his name now, but I'm sure you can find it. But he had one about chuckle-nuts and the chip thing. Before he vetoed it, he had something that came out. I couldn't catch it all because his dribble density is so high when he's speaking off the cuff that it's hard to catch it all.
Right.
But I got the very end of it, and he said, and I quote, "And of course we need the money to bring democracy or death to Iraq." He said that live on air.
Democracy or death. He's such a dumb bastard.
There's some question about that. That guy who wrote that biography,
yeah,
he claims the guy isn't exactly dumb. He's just insulated.
I'm sorry. I see it as stupidity. Anybody who is the president of 300 million people, the last standing superpower for another year or two, and can't put together a coherent sentence, I don't think that person is insulated. I think that person is stupid. You know,
it's a kind of narcissistic personality disorder. He just doesn't care what the inside of his head sounds like to other people.
That's my definition of stupid.
Okay. Well,
but I understand what you're saying, Douglas. It's shocking. It's mind bending. Every time Bush opens his mouth, it's like fingernails on a chalkboard. And when you stop and think that this guy is the head of the United States, I can't say president, but he's in charge of the United States. It just, I don't know. It can turn your blood to ice water. Douglas, thanks, pal. I got to leave it there. I'll talk with you later. Quick break here. We'll be back. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M Radio.
Laura and I's spirits are uplifted any time we go to a school that's working.
Ten before the hour. Thanks to our crew, Ian Huff, who engineered the program in Phoenix at KPHX, our flagship station, also answered your calls. Billy Foster, who does something for this network. I'm not sure what it is. Chris in Minnesota, our senior correspondent. And Catherine Bay, who is still working on her list of things to pack in about 14 one-quart clear plastic Ziploc bags. And who's the executive producer? Lewis is calling from Miami, listening on WINZ. Hey, Lewis.
Hey, hello. I wanna ask you a question, and then I want to share a joke with you to lighten up the evening.
Okay.
My question is the million-dollar question that everybody's asking. Why can't this criminal be impeached? I have a theory. I think the Congress has been scared blank or bought off.
All right. Now, the joke...
No, the joke is different.
Now, wait. Does it have bad words in it?
No, no bad words.
Okay, go ahead.
Chelsea Clinton asked a Republican, what are you people really scared of? And the Republican says, Osama, Obama, and your mama.
Okay, then what?
That's a joke.
Oh, that's the joke.
Yeah.
Try it again. Do it again for me, Lewis.
Chelsea Clinton asked a Republican, she says, what are you people really scared of? And the Republican says, Osama, Obama, and your mama. Your mama.
Oh, your mama. Oh, I got it. I'm a little slow on the uptake tonight, Lewis. That is funny, man. It really is. Where did you hear that?
Oh, I heard it on another talk show.
Uh-huh.
I think Ed Schultz.
Oh, yeah, I've heard of him, too.
Yeah.
All right, well, Lewis, thanks. I appreciate you checking in. Behave yourself now, okay?
Yeah, you betcha.
Okay, take care, Lewis.
Bye.
Charles is calling from Connecticut, listening via the Internet. Hey, Charles.
Hello, and bon voyage.
Thank you very much.
We'll try to keep the chat room warm for you.
That's good. Just don't do anything that you guys get arrested for, okay?
That's no fun.
All right.
Well, you know, last night you were talking about Georgie's after-hour screw the sick little children.
Yes.
And he's tippy-toeing real close to my territory.
Is he?
Because I've had diabetes since I was about 11 years old.
Oh, my God. You had the kind then where you had to give yourself injections?
Yes, still
yeah.
do.
Yeah, still do.
Mm-hmm. It doesn't go away. There is such a thing as a diabetic holiday where suddenly the pancreas starts to work, but mm-hmm. it's extremely rare, and you know I just sit around at night and fantasize about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I hear you.
But every time now, during the course of the year, I've noticed it climbing and climbing. But in the last 5 years, all the old medications that I had been using
mm-hmm.
suddenly have vanished, and now reports have come out that the new ones aren't any better than the old ones, and I can tell you that the new ones aren't as good as the old ones, but they cost a lot more.
They cost
every more. Time I go out, it costs more.
Oh my God.
Because the blood meters, the meters are free. The strips, $100 for 100.
Yeah.
It's $1 per strip. And mm-hmm. I bet in 2 weeks when I have to buy more, it'll go up. It's a scam. They're not going to cure these diseases. And if you think anything's going to come from Hillary, as I call Hillary Bush, I mean the Hillary Lieberman, you're out of your mind.
Yeah, the medical industrial complex has done as much damage as the military industrial complex, arguably even more. Because the pharmaceutical industrial complex they're doing it to us, to our own people, and it's a shame. Which is a wonderful argument in favor of single payer health care, where human beings in this country don't have to look at health as something that is only for people who can afford it.
Well, as you know, the Republican attitude is, if you're sick, you're poor, and if you're poor, It means God didn't give you any gold, because God only gives gold to those who he loves. So who will we interfere with God's decision? Which is why now that the Bible thumpers want Peter Pace.
Yeah, yeah, that's true.
Which is truly psychotic.
It is indeed. It is indeed psychotic, Charles. All right, listen, thanks for calling tonight. Take care, okay? We got time for one more. Doug. Doug is calling from Mills River, North Carolina, listening on Sirius. Did he disappear? He's gone? Doug's gone? All right, well. What do you want to do now? I think Doug was our last caller. I think we made everybody think we were really going to go away tonight instead of just continuing the program. What have you got on your list there? Things that we let's see, what else do we still have to do? I guess I can take my old flip flops. I'm not trying to impress anybody on this trip. Right?
Pickles, bottled water.
Bottled water.
The pickles are in case you get dehydrated. Apparently, you need that.
Pickles? Well, they will dehydrate you. I thought.
Well, maybe I read the thread wrong.
I think
wrong.
You read it wrong.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
A roll of quarters for the laundry, small bills, a phone card to call back from Mexico.
Oh, really?
That's about it.
That's it? We just about clear then, right? Okay. You going to play the out music? Oh, there it is.
I'm preoccupied.
I know. I've seen the list. It certainly is a long list. Hey, listen, y'all, behave yourselves. Don't do anything that results in your being renditioned someplace, okay? I'll see you when we get back, which will be back on the air a week from Tuesday. Oh, my God. Take care. Seriously. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy. This is the Nova M Radio Network.